The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 18, Text 30, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on January 22, 1990, in Dallas, Texas.
O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, Goloka eva nivasat yakilat abhutaha. The Lord always remains in Goloka, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. At the same time, He is all-pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all-pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, where Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam haridesha junatishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham haridi sannivishto ataksmitir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryama says, the Lord is anupalakshitastana. No one can locate Him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om namo bhagavate akuparaya sarva sattva guna visheshanaya anu palakshitastanaya namo varshmane namo bhumne namo namo vastanaya namaste. Om agyana timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshanam binatam jena tasmai shigarve namo. This is one of the Leela avatars of the Lord, the incarnation for the pastimes of the Lord. There are different types of incarnations. Sometimes He incarnates in order to take charge of a particular mode of material nature, such as Lord Brahma, Guna Avatar, or Lord Vishnu. Sometimes He incarnates in order to propound the Dharma for a particular age or yuga, that is called Yuga Avatar. Sometimes He incarnates as the Manus in order to manage mankind throughout the universe, Manvantara Avatar. And in this particular case, He's appearing for a particular pastime. And the background, very interesting. Once upon a time, the demons, the asuras, and the suras, the devotees or demigods, decided that they would like to produce some nectar. And so they went to the ocean of milk and they put in all kinds of herbs and vegetables, and they decided to churn the ocean. Now that's not an easy task, but of course the demons and demigods, very powerful, and they're also quite proud of their strength. So proud that they were thinking that they would bring the Mandara Mountain to use as a churning rod. The Mandara Mountain is very big, very heavy, but these personalities were very powerful. Nevertheless, as they were trying to carry the mountain, they were not strong enough. And the mountain was falling on them, and they were becoming all broken. And they're disappointed and fatigued. So the Lord incarnated to help them carry the mountain. Because it was actually a great plan to ultimately glorify the Lord. So he took part in this pastime. And then they needed to have some pivot, something as a basis for the Mandara mountain to rest upon. Well, the Lord again incarnated as the Kurma avatar, or the incarnation in the form of a tortoise, because the tortoise has a very hard shell, very strong, and he can take the load. Jayadeva Goswami has also glorified the Lord's incarnation as Kurma. Shiti iti vipula tare iti shtati tava prishte dharani dharana kina chakra garishte keshava drita kurma sharira jai jagadisha hare. Offering his obeisances also to the Lord who has assumed the form of a tortoise and has kept the Mandara mountain on his back. And also he appeared to have an itching sensation, so as the demons and demigods were revolving the mountain, it satisfied an itch that he was having. The Lord is very expert. With one activity, he accomplishes many things. And he's always enjoying himself. He never does anything that is unenjoyable, not like us. We have to do so many things that we don't enjoy doing. We're forced to grow old. Well, God is not forced to grow old. We're forced to become diseased. God never becomes diseased. We're forced to be defeated in so many ways. Someone may insult us. We can't do anything. We have to pay taxes to some higher authority. The Lord is Atmarama, completely situated in His own pleasure, His own transcendental bliss. And whatever He does for His own pleasure. He's not forced. He's not forced to appear in this material world to take His birth. Janma karma chame divyam evam yovi tatvata. Chakvadeham punar janma naiti mamiti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord does not, upon giving up this material body, have to take his birth again. So the Lord appeared as the tortoise, not due to the law of karma. There are so many tortoises. Here you have Turtle Creek River, Turtle Creek. There's turtles in there, there's tortoises. But those tortoises are forced. The spirit soul is different than the body. He's forced to take a particular body. In this case, the Lord is not different than his body, and he's not forced to act as a tortoise. But he likes to. He likes to take part. Someone may ask, well, why in the world would the Lord want to take the part of a tortoise? You might say he likes to play the supporting role in this case. Well, there's an example of Prime Minister Gladstone, formerly the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Once a very distinguished gentleman came to see him, and the secretary told him, you'll just have to sit down and wait here in the office. Prime Minister is busy right now. So he's waiting and waiting, and a long time has gone by. And the man was becoming impatient. What in the world is the Prime Minister doing that's so important he cannot see me? So he looked in the crack of the door, and there he saw that the prime minister had become a horse for his grandson who was riding him. He was on his hands and knees. Now the big prime minister, so much important business, so many people are depending upon it, but he's on his hands and knees riding his grandson, playing the part of a horse. Why? Because he enjoys that. That kind of pastime is enjoyable. Now, where does that tendency come from? It comes from God or Krishna. Krishna also likes to play the part of a horse sometimes, and the tortoise sometimes, and the boar sometimes. He's the original actor. And his activities are so transcendentally pleasing that if one hears about them, he becomes spiritually advanced. Therefore, the Vedic system is that all drama should be a glorification of Krishna. Everything should be revolved around Krishna so that his pastimes become they become impressed in our minds and our hearts. Formerly, the system was that in the evenings there would be some discussion of Ramayana or Mahabharata or Srimad Bhagavatam about the pastimes of the Lord. And everyone would become absorbed in hearing about the Lord's activities, and then when they went home and took rest at night, they would be also dreaming about Krishna. That is the proper system. We should always be absorbing our minds in the activities of the Lord because they're transcendental. You may not be able to understand how they're transcendental. You may not be able to fully comprehend how the Lord can do that and why it's transcendental. But nevertheless, we have faith in the previous acharyas. And here Aryama, such a great personality, his name is even mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says of what the departed ancestors, I am Aryama. So he was even he officiated the post of Yamaraj when Yamaraj was cursed, as you know, by Manduk Muni. He had, because of a slight, at least in the opinion of the Muni, the Yamaraj had made a slight miscalculation and had punished him unfairly. So the Muni wanted to show his power, so he cursed him to become a Shudra. Yamaraj then had to take his birth as a Shudra on this planet. But of course it was not all in vain, because Yamaraj took the opportunity to preach, because he's a great Vaishnava. And he came down as Vidura, and while he was away, Aryama was given that post to officiate. All these great personalities are glorifying the incarnations of the Lord, Dasavatar. Therefore, why should we refuse to hear about the glories of the Lord? If we don't hear about the glories of the Lord, then we'll be forced to hear something else about the glories of someone else. Is it not? Just look at the newspapers. Look at all the magazines. They have comic books. Now they have whole bookshops just for comics. You know that? And what are the comic characters? All made-up persons. Batman. Mighty Mouse. Superfly, all these concocted personalities who are doing so-called great things. And the children are being raised, hearing about them. These are their heroes. When Batman comes to town in his Batmobile, everyone is very interested to go. Why are they attracted to these persons? Or these things, or whatever they are, concepts. Because they're not hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're not hearing about Lord Tortoise, Kurma, Kurma Sharira, what a great, wonderful activity. Talk about power, strength. He kept the whole mountain on his back. But unfortunately, the so-called leaders of society are actually misleading the people. They're crows, biasam, and therefore they have become just like crows. And crows like to eat refuse, rejected garbage. And therefore they are teaching that. And they are giving their children this rejected garbage to eat. Naturally, what can you expect from a mother crow? She'll naturally teach her child how to eat the same thing she's eating. It is a great misfortune for the world that they are preferring the pilgrimage place for crows, Vyasam Tirtham, instead of the place where the Paramahansas like to go. So this Bhagavatam is known as Paramahansa Samhita because it is relished by the swan-like personalities. The swans take pleasure in the clear crystal waters of the lakes and the lotus flowers. They don't go and associate with the crows. They're not interested in the same things the crows are interested in. So we are coming from the families of crows, unfortunately, at least in most of our cases. There are some exceptions. Those who are born into Vaishnava families, they are very fortunate. But most of us did not. And we were raised to enjoy crow-like pleasures. And by the association of a Paramahansa, we have become transformed, or at least we're in the process of becoming transformed. We're changing our taste from that of material pleasures to spiritual pleasures. Param drishtva nivartate. So as long as we go on hearing and associating with those saintly persons, then we'll never again go back and become crows. That is our goal in life, not to go back, not to fall back down again, but to continue forward, going back to home, back to Godhead. Here in this verse, it is described that the Lord is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. And His position is undiscernible. That means no one can understand Him perfectly. We should not become discouraged if we cannot understand Him. After all, He's completely transcendental. Goloka eva nivasati kilatma bhuto. Although He's situated in Goloka Vrindavan, dancing with the gopis, He's also expanded Himself everywhere. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. Even in the atom, He's expanded His energy. As super soul, He's there in everyone's heart. Ridesha junatishtati. So God is, in one sense, He's everything and everywhere. Vasudeva sarvamiti. And in another sense, He's completely separate. This is His inconceivable potency. Completely different than us. If we're situated in one place, we cannot be somewhere else. But He can. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. That is the nature of God. He's not limited by past, present, and future. He's on the eternal platform. We all have a past. We got a body at a particular time. Therefore, we call that our birthday. And at a certain time, we'll have to give up this body, and then we'll be forced into another position. But the Lord is transcendental. He doesn't have to, He never has to give up His body. Therefore, He can remember everything. This was discussed between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna was having a difficult time understanding how Krishna was explaining that he instructed the sun god in the science of Bhagavad Gita in the past. And Arjuna said, well, you and I are contemporaries. We're about the same age. The sun god has been living for millions of years. How could you have instructed him? That sounds ridiculous. And Krishna told him, many, many births, both you and I have passed, O Arjuna, but I can remember all of them, but you cannot. That is the difference between the living entities and the Lord. He remembers everything. He never has to change his body. So are there any questions about this verse? Yes? They're looking for Krishna, that's right. But they're getting something less. And the result is different. The result is if they get Krishna, then Krishna's pleased. Because that's what Krishna wants. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madjaji mam namaskaru. It's not an impersonal system. You can't beat the system. It's a personal thing. The Lord wants us to remember Him. He wants us to serve Him. And be conscious always of Him. You may say, well, He has, you know, seems to be quite demanding. Why not others? Well, yes. He's also very tolerant. If you don't want to think of Him and hear of Him, if you want to think of Batman, then you can become a Batman. You can become a bat. You can become something like that. He'll give you what you want. He has a wonderful sense of humor. The Lord is not lacking in any quality. So if you want to ignore Him and avoid His loving association, His loving embrace, if you prefer to embrace the bats and the rats, then He'll give you that opportunity. So the result is different. But yes, they're looking for Krishna. And that's why our preaching can be so effective. Because it's not that anybody isn't looking for Krishna. One man's looking for the most beautiful woman. But actually he won't find that most beautiful woman in the material world because the bodies are made of stool and urine and mucus. He's forgotten this. He's so captivated by Cupid that he forgets what the body's made of. You know that story, Liquid Beauty? I think you know, yes. So that was a good example. She wanted to show him, you're so attracted to this body. Do you know what the beauty of this body is made of? Here. She took it in big pots and she kept it for him. Then he was aghast. Oh, I didn't know. We forget because of the sugar coating, the skin covering makes it look nice. And we can't smell it as much. But as soon as that, the inside comes outside, it becomes disgusting. So we're looking for that beautiful person. We should find a person who doesn't have insides like that. That is Krishna. His insides, his outside, it's all transcendental. Full of fragrance. He's the source of all beautiful fragrances. Gandha. Yes? Well, Prabhupada said that it's a great responsibility to raise children and that they've taken birth in the family of devotees. That means they're not ordinary children. They're already attracted to Krishna naturally. They're inclined. So it is our duty to become expert in training them. And we have to adopt whatever means is required to make sure that they become Krishna conscious and give every possible chance. Of course, if we give them Batman, then we cannot complain that they're becoming attracted to Batman.
It's funny though, even if you don't give it, somehow, because of their desire, it manifests somehow. Even if you don't give it to them, they get it anyway. We're seeing that. It just comes.
It's association.
But if
It's association. If we're associating with others who like Batman, then we'll also like Batman. Isn't that how we all became attracted to all these things? By association. Similarly, if we associate with those who are not interested in Batman, who are interested in Krishna and Balaram and Ramachandra, then we'll also become attracted. They're naturally inclined towards hearing about Krishna. Just like our Indian friends, when they come, they have a natural inclination, but they need association. So the real thing is good association. That's the solution to the problem. Good association, good preaching, intelligent methods on how to create a situation so they cannot but remember Krishna throughout all their days. Now, if we don't have time for that, okay, then that's another thing. But we've taken that responsibility, so let us execute it very carefully. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada said, it is a great discredit for us. So we must try everything. If it means that I have to create other books about Krishna to attract their attention, if it means I have to create dramas for them and puppet shows for them, if I have to work so hard to always help them remember Krishna and attract them to Krishna again, that's my duty. It is hard work to save someone from birth and death. But that is what the Shastras recommend for those who become parents or gurus or kings or demigods or husbands. They have to save their guardian. It's not easy. I know it's not easy, but we have to work very hard at it. And we have to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness ourselves so that naturally they'll want to be like us. Because children like to be like their parents. It's a natural thing. We all know, we experience. When we were young, we were very fond of our parents, isn't it? We wanted to be like them. Isn't it, most of you? Yes, it's a natural. Pardon? Like our parents. So if the parents are pure devotees, then there's a very good chance the children will also become. Good opportunity.
The first principle is making sure that our children are not attracted to Batman, and to make sure that we're not attracted to Batman.
That's a good point, yes. Yes, you had some? Yes, in other words, if we're in the evenings, we're not interested in Batman because that's silly. But we're interested in, what are some of the other more sophisticated things we might be interested in?
Football.
Yeah, something like that. More sophisticated. Then, naturally, our children, they think, what's the difference? They can understand that there's no difference, that that's also mundane. And it's tolerable. But if we're absorbed in Krishna and we're so happy to hear about Krishna and making everything Krishna, then naturally the children will want to be like that. So it's our responsibility. It's, of course, ultimately every soul has a choice to choose whether he wants to serve Krishna. But as you pointed out, these souls have chosen, at least in their previous lives, that they want Krishna. And they got such a good opportunity to be born into this movement. Prabhupada said if they're born in the movement, it means they're nitya siddha. They have the opportunity to never forget Krishna. He said this in Los Angeles. So, we have a great opportunity. These children are very eager to hear about Krishna. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience to train them for 18 years until they're in a position where, or 16 years or whatever, until they actually are grown and they can make their own decisions. But every child should be given the opportunity from very youth. Komara achara pragyo dharmam bhagavataniha. Prahlad Maharaj said from the very youth one should be trained how to become the servant of Krishna and Krishna's representatives, the spiritual master. That is the most wonderful training. Because if they're trained young, then they enjoy austerities. Sleeping on the ground, they don't mind it. But if they're given a very soft life of sense gratification, then they will not like austerities. So the best time is to train them when they're young. Now, I know the karmis and others, they will criticize. Why are you restricting your child? Why don't you let your child enjoy all these wonderful things like television, Batman, eating horrible things? Why don't you give them that opportunity? Why are you trying to force them into your religion? Well, you're also forcing your children into your religion, which is sense gratification, which is atheism or some kind of pseudo-religion. Why are you forcing them into that? Why not give them the opportunity to have the purest thing? Now, after all, these children are under the protection of the parents. So it's not that we're forcing them, we're saving them. We're saving them from the suffering of repeated birth and death. Now, the karmi parents, they think by letting their children have freedom, freedom to stay in this material world birth after birth for millions of lifetimes. Liberal. Just like if some parents are so liberal, they let their children play on the freeway because they don't want to disturb them. That's silly. That's craziness. So why should I let my child, this child has come and taken shelter of me. It's my duty to protect him. I have to give them shelter. And if they want to do something that's not good for them, I have to train them. No, it's not good for you. You may not appreciate it now, but they'll appreciate later. Don't worry, they'll appreciate. Just like I remember once, I was it was down around the beach area. I was going to the beach with my family. And it was on a Sunday. And I was just, I think, 4 or 5 years old. Just very young. And we were walking across the busy street at the beach, and there were cars coming. Traffic was coming very fast, and there was a crosswalk. So we were walking in the crosswalk, and I was holding my grandmother's hand. And as a child, I was not paying attention. I was dawdling out in front of the rest of the group. And the car, one car didn't stop. It was going by very quickly. And if I was out and the car would have hit me, but my grandmother yanked my arm back. And at the time, I was crying. And I was upset with my grandmother for hurting my arm. Why did she do that? But then when they explained to me that actually, had she not done that, I would have been smashed by the car, then I appreciate it. And I've always appreciated that ever since. So don't worry if your children, temporarily, they may say, why are you making me get up early in the morning? Why are you making me do these things? My friends are not doing them. We don't care about the others. Later on, they'll appreciate. Back to home, back to Godhead. Back in the spiritual world, they'll appreciate. Thank you so much. You saved me. Let's not go for the Shreya. Let's go for the Preya. Let's go for the Shreya. Shreya Uttamam. A little austerity now, a little penance and austerities at this point will save us from having to suffer so much more. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.